average, but to allow myself to be stretched, to be drawn to live to my potential. One of the greatest gifts that I had early on in my life was the gift of many mentors. And it was interesting because many of my mentors, both men and women, were much older than I was, who saw God's hand upon my life and, to my amazement, had bigger dreams for me than I had for myself. And for me, listen to the words of Jesus in John chapter 8. I love these words. If you stick with this, living out what I tell you, you are my disciples for sure. Then you will experience for yourselves the truth, and the truth will free you. Why do you need to know the truth? How many of this past week heard about the false news or fake news somewhere? Identify counterfeit money, that they weren't given counterfeit money so they could see it. What they were given was they were given the real thing, and they become so acquainted with it. They understood the touch. They could see what it was like. They understood what a real dollar was back in those days when it was paper. That when a counterfeit came through, that they would instantly be able to identify it. If you don't know the truth, you won't be set free. In fact, you'll be found in chains because of your lack of understanding the truth. Tony Campolo, in his book, Getting Out of the World Alive, said this: today, as always, the greatest danger to those who follow Jesus is not overt persecution by society, even though that's coming, but subtle seduction by its values. Our faith must be built up. Our minds must be able to detect what is counterfeit and what is true. Interestingly enough, the cults are increasingly targeting older people. Elderly people are vulnerable since they're lonely and looking for answers and trying to cope with major life changes such as the loss of a loved one or the empty nest or the specter of serious illness. It's interesting, when I was doing this study, 5 million people in North America are in the cult. 1 million of them are over 50. And that's the part that's growing the most significant. So here's my point this morning. You need principles to live by. You need to know what you're living for, and you need to know what to live by. Turn to your neighbor this morning and say to them, you need principles to live by this morning. That would be just turn to your neighbor and do that. Okay, if you don't have a neighbor, you need to find a neighbor. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm not. Sit with somebody next time. Now turn back to them and go, looks like you could use some principles. Don't email me. What are the principles that you and I need to know to become a person, a disciple? And by the way, the word disciple means learner of. If I'm a disciple of Jesus, I'm a learner of Jesus. You and I are to be learners of Jesus. So what are the principles you and I need to apply to our life? Well, I'm going to share with you four of them this morning. The first one is this: you need to plan to grow up. How many of you know an adult that never grew up? How many of you are sitting next to that adult? Sorry. No, I'm not. Let me tell you some myths about spiritual maturity. Some myths. Listen to them. They're not in your notes. Just listen to them. One, you are mature the moment you accept Jesus. Not true. Number two, maturity is mystical, and very few people get it. Not true. Thirdly, you can be microwaved into maturity. You can do a crash course and be mature. Nope, not true. Fourthly, maturity is measured by what you know. Not true. It's not by what you know. It's by what you do. Fifthly, your growth is personal and a private matter. Not true. It's not true. You may do it in private, but it really is public too. That's where the growth comes, being in relationship and working with other people and talking about and praying about and doing life together. That's how maturity comes. If you and I are going to grow up, then there's three things that we must do. First of all, we must choose to grow. We must choose to grow. In John Maxwell's book, The 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth, he starts off with the first law called the law of intentionality, which basically says growth just doesn't happen. James Allen said some profound words here. People are anxious to improve their circumstances, but are unwilling to improve themselves, and they therefore remain bound. The problem is when you were a child, you didn't sit up at night thinking about, what do I need to do to grow? You and I just grew. In our physical nature, our growth is automatic. But in our spiritual and intellectual nature, you have to be intentional or it just doesn't happen. The Apostle Paul, a very intelligent man, and by the way, I found out that there's a movie coming out around Easter called The Apostle Paul. It's supposed to be a really, just an incredible, biblically based, powerful movie. So be on the lookout for that for The Apostle Paul. But he was a scholar, and in his right understood this. Look what it says in Ephesians chapter 5, 4, verse 15. God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth, and to tell it in love, like Christ in everything. Circle grow up. That's what he wants us to do. Circle the whole truth, and circle tell it in love. It's one thing to be very truthful and not do it in love. It's very important that we say the truth and we do it in love, like Christ in anything and in everything. So you must choose to grow. Secondly, you must have a plan of action to become mature. Do you think that if you fed your preteen once a week, I mean, a huge meal, I mean, the kid sat down for a whole hour and ate for a whole hour, but didn't eat the rest of the week, that they would grow physically? Of course not. Yet if we come to church every Sunday, and most people don't, by the way, statistics tell us that committed people only come twice a month, not four times a month. Just twice. So you say you bring your preteen, your child to church every weekend for about an hour of in-depth study of God's word. Do you think they're going to learn the deep truths of God? No. And I'm overstating this to make a point here. If you are wanting to become a child of God, a disciple of Jesus, you need to plan to grow. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, now, like infants at the breast, drink deep of God's pure kindness. Then you'll grow up mature and whole in God. The choices I make today, repeated every day over the long haul, will result in significant growth. For those of you that are in our leadership course, you've heard me say you need a rule of five about spiritual growth. What are the five things that you need to do every day that if you did them every day, those five things, every day, every day, every day, every day, over a period of time, you would grow significantly. You see, we overestimate an event and underestimate just doing something consistently. You must choose to grow. You must have a plan of action to become mature. And then thirdly, you must get beyond the simple stuff to the tough stuff. Hebrews 6 verse 1 says this, therefore let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying aside the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God. Do you know the deeper stuff of God? Do you understand the principle of waiting? Do you understand the principle and the theology of suffering? Do you understand those things? Because that's important. It's amazing to think about that. So here's the thing I want you to look at. Spiritual growth is intentional. It's intentional. You got to be intentional about it, which, by the way, is my word for the year, intentional. I'm intentionally doing some things because I want to grow in five different areas of my life. What's your word? So number one, you plan to grow up. Secondly, purpose to obey God. Here's the danger I see everywhere in churches. Just because you know does not mean that you do. Here's something you can write down. Every one of us is educated way beyond our obedience. Every one of us is educated way beyond our obedience. We know what to do. The biggest gap in your life, the biggest gap in my life, is the gap between knowing and doing. A lot of people, I've met a lot of people that know the whole Word of God. Like they've got it, they can memorize it, and they can say it to me. But their life doesn't reflect it at all. They have all the knowledge. They don't have any application. Look at what James says in chapter 1, verse 22. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you're anything but. Letting the Word of God go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. I often thought, I should just preach the same message for as many times as I need to until everybody gets it. So we're not going to, next Sunday, I'm just going to preach this message again. And then if you don't get it, I'm going to preach it again. And when you get it, I'll quit and go on to the next one. No, I'm just teasing. Don't freak out. But I've often thought about that. How unhappy would you be if I just kept preaching the same message? One of these days, folks, it's going to catch. We know more than we do. When we compare ourselves to others, we compare what we do and they don't. We compare ourselves with others, which means I usually fall into one of two ditches. And when I'm going down the Christian life, when I'm going down the road, when I compare myself to other people, I'm either going in the left ditch or the right ditch. If I go in the left ditch, it's because I look at you and go, man, I'm better than you are. Wow, look at you. And that's pride. That's the ditch on the left. And you know what I know about pride? What does the Word of God say about pride? God opposes the proud. Not the ditch I want to be in. And then on the other side, it's the exact extreme where it's, I look at you and go, man, you are so amazing and you are so mature. There's no way I could ever be anything like you. And so what happens is I become full of self-pity. Inadequacy that I'm not even teachable. And that's the other wrong ditch to get in. So whether you fall off, you wither up, or you give up, either way is bad. The only person you should be comparing yourself with is you. How have I grown today so that I'm not the same person tomorrow? Not how have I grown today so I look different than Dave, or I look different than Bruce, or I look better than Ashley. That's not what the focus is. What I should be doing is, what am I doing today to grow Bob so that Bob's better tomorrow? And what am I going to do tomorrow so that Bob's better the next day? You see, when I compare myself to myself, I'm able to understand whether I'm growing or not. That's the comparison. And ultimately what I'm saying is I'm comparing myself to what the Word of God says I should become. Comparison is a deadly game. Gets you in the ditch either way. Henry Beecher once said, hold yourself responsible for a higher standard than anyone else expects of you. Never excuse yourself. Knowledge does not prove that you're spiritual. One day when the Raiders football team were in Oakland, a reporter visited their locker room to talk to Ken Stabler. And Stabler wasn't known for being a real intellect, but he was a really good quarterback. Then the newspaper man read him some English prose. I would rather be ashes than dust. I would rather that my spark be burned out in a brilliant blaze than it should be stifled by dry rot. I would rather be a superb meteor, every atom of me in a magnificent glow, than a sleepy, impermanent planet. The proper function of man is to live, not to exist. I shall not waste my days in trying to prolong them. I shall use my time. After reading this to the quarterback, the reporter said, what does that mean to you? Stabler immediately replied, throw deep. Throw deep. When we proclaim our obedience, we're not fooling anyone. The older I get, the less that I hear what you say and the more I watch what you do. Every year when I was pastoring, and Nora would know this, I would spend January teaching on stewardship. And I would spend 4 Sundays on stewardship, because stewardship's not about money. Stewardship's about your heart, about your life. And so I would teach 1 Sunday on your testimony, on your time, your talent, and the last one would be on the tithe. And at the very beginning of the series, I would say, listen, I'm only going to talk once about money, so be prepared. You know it's coming. So on the 4th Sunday, I would get up and I would preach about tithing and how it's one way to indicate that I'm really trusting God with all of my life. And if you, it's a way to grow your faith and your walk with God. And actually, the Bible says that you're to test him in this. The only time where God says to test him. At the end of the message, you know what I'm going to ask them to do, right? Commit to tithing. Now, listen up here. Without fail. Without fail. Every year. Do you know what a few people would come up to me and say? Here's what they'd say. I don't believe in tithing. Now, you're a smart bunch this morning. Smarter than the first service. What were they actually telling me? They don't tithe. People aren't that smart, man. I don't believe in tithing. They would just tell me. They would just tell me without even telling me that they don't tithe. You see, how did I know that? Because the people that tithe, they're the ones who are high-fiving me on the way out. Because they know it's a principle that they need to be doing. They understand it. They do it. They've seen God's blessing in their life. And they are grateful that I stood up before the people and challenged them to test God in this. There is no greater joy in my life than knowing when I have given my tithe to this church that it's going to help change lives. You see, if God's the one who gives it all to me, can he also not take it away from me? He's in charge of everything. I love having fun with congregations. I'd say to them, okay, let's say you made $1,000. How much of that belongs to God? Somebody yell out, $100. I go, nope, you're wrong. Like, well, that's the tithe. I didn't say that. How much belongs to God? All of it. That's how you live a life of stewardship. You know, everything that you have is from God. He wants what's his. That's why I gave him his 10. Now in your notes, look at what it says in 1 John chapter 2. And by the way, you've gotten used to the fact that I love the message. Don't write me emails, just listen. Here's how we can be sure that we know God in the right way. Keep his commandments. If someone claims I know him well but doesn't keep his commandments, he's obviously a liar. His life doesn't match his words, but the one who keeps God's word in the person in whom we see God's mature love. This is the only way to be sure we're in God. Anyone who claims to be intimate with God ought to live the same kind of life that Jesus lived. So here's my point. Spiritual growth is seen more in behavior than in your beliefs. Now, I'm not saying beliefs aren't important. You know they are important. But what you believe comes out. I can tell. You see, I know what people believe when they tell me they don't tithe. When they don't tithe, they believe that tithing doesn't work. That tithing isn't a biblical principle. You see, what's in comes out. If we trust and not obey, we're a fraud, we're a fake, we're an infant. And would you expect a growing disciple of Jesus to be obedient to the Lord in following him in baptism and giving of our tithe? The answer is yes. All right, let's keep going. How are you doing? All right, got ready? Got time for two more? I think we do. All right, here we go. Number 3, you need to persevere to know Christ. To grow takes being intentional, but it also takes being persistent. Paul knew that it's more caught than taught. Look what he says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Watch what God does and then do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. As a child grows up in their relationship with their parents, so too you and I need to spend time communicating with God through prayer and with study. You might be saying to me, but Bob, I don't sense God's presence when I read the Bible. Can I be transparent with you today? There are times when I sit in my thinking chair and I read my Bible, and I don't feel like he's shown up. But that doesn't mean that I don't go back every day anticipating that I'm going to meet with him and that he's going to show up. And I'll go back to the next day and I'll read my scriptures and I'll listen and I'll have my journal and I'll be ready. And then all of a sudden one day he's going to just break out and I don't want to miss it. Heaven forbid that I would be not in the chair when God decides he wants to talk to me. I've got to be persistent. Tozer said, obedience to Christ proves we love him, and in return, he shows himself to us. Each time I was in Israel, we went to a spot where Jesus taught the huge crowd, where he gave us the Beatitudes. It's a beautiful spot overlooking the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus spoke these words. In Luke, it's recorded this way. Why are you so polite with me, always saying, yes, sir, and that's right, sir, but never do a thing I tell you? These words I speak to you are not mere additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. God is not trying to make me conform, but trying to train me to be mature. The Bible isn't something that you add to your life. It is the foundation of how you grow in your life and become an obedient follower of Jesus. Number four, real quick. We need to push to grow together. We need to push to grow together. Kent Wilson, in his article, Everything I Really Need to Know I Learned in Sunday School, said this. Can you imagine a group of adults who lived each day genuinely acting as if and believing that God was the only necessary answer to life's problems? What a place that would be. Friend, if you're committed to growing in your faith, you need to be here each Sunday to fellowship and to worship with God's people so that you can handle the problems of life with God's people. We've talked about that. If you're able, get into a small group where you can be encouraged and have other walking partners with you as you mature and as you grow. Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. How many of you have had a two-year-old that's had the run of the house? Yep. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using common sense and sing your hearts out to God. I heard a story about a king who had a beautiful ring and three sons. And each son wanted that ring. So when the king died, he left three rings for his sons and a note that said this, my dear sons, one of these rings is real and two are fake. The way that you will know that you have the real one is that son with the real one will be generous and kind to all people. Each one of the three sons spent the rest of their life being good to prove that they had the real ring. It's the same with Christians. The way you show your Christianity is true, not to scream and yell about it. The way to show your Christianity is true is to live it. So what are the principles? One, will you grow? Will you plan to grow up? Will you purpose? Secondly, with God's power to obey him? Will you persevere to know Christ? And will you push together by growing with one another? We started with these verses from Jesus. Let me say to them again. If you stick with this, living out what I tell you, you are my disciples for sure. Then you will experience for yourselves the truth, and the truth will set you free. Someone has said this. As long as God's will lines up with our own wishes, everything is fine with us. But when our personal goals collide with God's will, we truly learn what his lordship over us means. God calls us to give him not the sum total of the little things we happen to have surplus of, but what is most connected with our personal identity, the things with which our very life is entwined. What areas of your life are colliding right now? Is a path that you're traveling on colliding with the principles that you need to be living by? You see, we're all in process. We all need to walk in truth and grace and forgiveness. We are all in this together. We are partners with one another. We need people to live with and we need principles to live by. And Paul understood this in 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Gently encourage the stragglers and reach out for the exhausted, pulling them to their feet. I love the imagery of that. Have you pulled anybody up lately? I said, come on, it's okay. We can keep moving ahead. Be patient with each other. Attentive to individual needs, and be careful that when you get on each other's nerves, you don't snap at each other. I love it. We gotta put this on our fridge. Here's the point: spiritual growth happens amidst relationships. You can start today in fortifying your faith. Here's what you can do: pick one of those four things. Which one of those four things do you need to just give a little more attention to? Choose today your plan of action. Which one of those four are you going to do? Step up in it. Will you pray with me? Invite the worship team to come. Father, as your children, we realize that we need to plan to grow, to purpose to obey you, to persevere each moment, to know you and be pushed by others to live the Christian life. It's easy to keep quiet, to hesitate to go public, to be your secret saints. But you desire, no, you delight in seeing each of us grow in your love. Lord Jesus, I pray that we might plan to grow up by making it a habit of reading your word. I pray that we might not just know your word, but do it as an indication of our love for you. I pray that when our schedules become overwhelming, that we would persevere in spending time with you to get to know you even more. And I pray that we would not neglect this fellowship, but come to spur one another to love and good works. Holy Spirit, only you can empower us as we seek to know what to believe and then to live it before others so they may see Jesus in us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand together as we sing.
Seated. At this point, I'd like to ask Kelly and Debbie to come up. They have some information to share with us about what's coming up in men's.